Our scripture lessons, especially the one in Psalms, tells us to, and we've heard this one before. This is an old scripture we've all heard: make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And if you think back, the hymns that we sung today, there's a lot of words in there about praise God. All creation, let's get together, praise God. And so that brings me to my history lesson part of today. And I'm going to ask a question of everybody, and don't feel embarrassed if you don't know, because I did not know until just a couple of days ago the answer to this. And for a little background, last Sunday night was the first chance I got to go to one of the meetings that Pastor Carlin's having called, she calls them the Seismic Activity of God. And it's looking at and talking about the Shift book. It was a book from the conference. You remember we had a gentleman come and talked about it a little bit with us. And the people at that meeting are just a few people, and I'm not bragging on myself on this because I was a latecomer, but there are a few people who are dedicated to talking about where we want this church to go and where can we go in the future after, you know, we got to face this fact. We've had some really, really dedicated and generous leaders in this church and supporters over the years, and, you know, unfortunately, we've lost a lot of them. We're going to lose more of them. And so there's a few people who are concerned, you know, where will the church go after that? So that's basically the point of these meetings about the seismic activity of God. But anyway, we got to talking, and the Shift book talks a little bit about, well, it talks a lot about why people seem uninspired by church services a lot. And, you know, we got a lot of modern worship and churches using that, and younger people don't really appreciate some of the older songs and rituals that we have. And I can understand that. Like I said, I didn't understand a lot of what we are doing and why we're doing it until Carolyn was kind enough to explain some stuff to us at the meeting, and then she gave me some material where I could look this up and understand. And I want to talk about some of the rituals that we do. And for a while, we kind of got away with this from this, but we're back doing it now, and I understand why it's important. Does anybody know, here's my question, does anybody know why we sing the Gloria Patri and we sing the other, it's a doxology. A doxology is a short, responsive thing. It can be sung or chanted. And the doxology that we sing after the offering. Raise your hand if you know why we do those. That's what I thought. And I didn't, and I'm not knocking anybody because I had no idea why we did it. I just thought it was rituals to fill up the time. But it's not. And it's actually very important. And, you know, a lot of the time in our Sunday school lessons, we talk about how the Hebrews failed to pass things on to younger generations. And that's kind of how they drifted away from God every time he saved them from themselves and redeemed them. They would drift away again, and it's basically because they forgot to pass on some of the reasons why we're worshiping and why we're doing what we do. And, you know, we are fairly ritualized in the Methodist Church. It's our history. It's where we came from. But the Gloria Patri that we sing, and I want y'all to think about this. Notice when we sing that, we sing it after the Apostles' Creed. And when we sing it, you'll always notice that Pastor Carlin sings it like this. Okay? And when we do the doxology after the offering, she sings it like this. And we should sing it like that. Well, what this is, it's a response. A doxology is a response to some creed that has been read or spoken, to the word of God itself out of the Bible, or it's given after offerings. And what it is where we as a body turn to the altar, which the altar represents God to us. That's, you know, the symbolism of the church. And, you know, in the Methodist, we're Methodists, we don't do like a lot of people and do this and, you know, fall on knees. But what it is basically, it was originally started as we turn to God and we say, God, we praise you for all that you are, for creating everything. We acknowledge that it's you and not us, that everything we are and have is because of you. It's not anything we did or can do. You know, that's when we do sing, when we say the Apostles' Creed, then we do the Gloria Patri after it. And, you know, look at the words. It just says, you know, God is everything. And we say it facing our image of God, which is the altar. The same with the doxology we sing after the offertory, which is saying, you know, God, we wouldn't have this to give you if it wasn't for you. And that's what it is. And so, you know, it's not just empty rituals. It's important. And it's important, I think, to understand, you know, why we're doing this. It's part of all creation should always worship God at all times. And in the way, way back, probably, and most of our worship started, I guess, the tradition started back in the Middle Ages. And, you know, back then, it was mostly like a priest and some monks leading the service, and people just kind of sit there and watch. But the priest would say these things, these monks would chant these responses, and then it kind of evolved into the congregations chanting these things along behind whatever was said. And, you know, you didn't, they just learned it by memory, like we've learned the Apostles' Creed and stuff. You know, I couldn't tell you it out of a book, but I can say it out of memory. And pretty much we all can if we've been coming to the Methodist Church for a long time. And other churches use a similar creed. All the churches that are related to the Methodist Church do. But the reason we respond to that is we say, thank you, God. We acknowledge that you're the creator. And again, we say it looking or sing it looking up. You know, and back in the old days, they didn't, most people couldn't read. They didn't have printed books. And matter of fact, in the Middle Ages, if you were not a priest and you could read, you'd probably kill for witchcraft. So people learned these things, and they didn't have a lot of hymn books and stuff. You know, it's not been that long since churches had somebody read out the line of a hymn and then the congregation would sing it because they didn't have books. But that's where these things kind of evolved from, but they're all where the congregation responds to the word of God or some revelation about God that's been made and say, thank you, God. And, you know, that's what it's all about. And the scripture readings from the Old Testament talk about praise God, be joyful, be transformed with joy as you worship. And, you know, we're in church to worship. That's why we're here, is to worship God. And part of our rituals, I think, that, you know, it's, and without understanding it, I can see where it can be boring for people. But it's not just time fillers. It's, you know, ritual is kind of how we learn things and how things get ingrained in us. You know, in school, in elementary school, they did a lot of ritual. You did stuff over and over again until you got it. The military uses ritual a lot in training. You keep doing something over and over and over until it's ground into you. And so we do these things over and over again in the hope that we leave worship remembering that we worship God and we should worship Him constantly with all our lives. And now I want to move on a little bit to the New Testament reading, and it's about Jesus healing 10 lepers, and he was in Samaria, I believe. So These were not Jews for the most part. They were not Jesus' followers, but they were walking along between towns, and you know, he saw these 10 lepers, and they naturally they were away from everybody else because they kept lepers, and they still keep people with leprosy away from everybody else because it's so contagious, and there's no cure for it. And so they're kind of keeping away, but they're hollering, "Jesus, Jesus, hey, please help us. You know, we got no hope. Please help us. You can do it because you're the master." And you know, so they acknowledged that he could do this, that he was God. And so he told them, he said, "Well, go to the priest and report to them, and then you'll be healed." And so they ran off, and then one of them, realizing that as he ran to the priest, he was looking at his hands, I guess. You know, leprosy is a skin disease. It's a bacterial disease that it simply eats your skin away. And I guess he was seeing that he was healed. And so he just stops, and he turns around and runs back to Jesus and falls on his feet and begins to worship Jesus and thank him. And the other nine went on away. And Jesus asked, "Well, there was 10, now there's only one. What happened to the others? Did they not feel like they should thank God for being healed?" He said, "This man's a Samaritan. He's not even one of us, so to speak." So Jesus says, "You know, your faith has made you well. I don't know. We don't know what happened to the other nine, but they went on. But one out of 10 turned back around and praised God for what God had wrought in his life." And that's only 10%. I know it worked. We're statistic crazy. Anybody don't know, I work at the hospital, and most all businesses now have gotten it statistic crazy. We would say that was 10% compliance, and that would be terrible because Medicare wouldn't pay you if you're only 10% compliant. You know, we are statistic crazy in this world now. And every time you come up with a proposal or there's a problem and you're looking for a solution, all that the upper management wants to say is, "Let me see the numbers." I get tired of hearing that. "Let me see the numbers." That's all they want to see. And, you know, we got the politics and elections going on now, so 100,000 times a day we get the percentages of the polls and who approves and disapproves and this and that and the other. And we're just bombarded with it till it doesn't mean anything anymore. We don't even pay any attention to it. And, you know, we come right down to it, it's not that important. And, you know, as Christians, we should not worry about what percent of us doing this and that. We should just make sure that we're in the percent that does. You know, we should let others worry about counting the numbers. We should be the numbers. We should be that one leper who remembers to praise God. You know, our whole church service is for that reason, to train us and put us in mind that God is the author of all creation, and all creation must praise him, or should praise him, not must because we have free will, but all creation should constantly praise God, not just in worship service, but in our lives as well. We should let everyone that we come in contact with see that God is being praised through us, through how we live our lives, how we treat other people. And, you know, God is not wanting us to praise him, I think, out of ego. Ego is a human failing. It's simply that and this is just my idea, I think it makes God happy that when we can acknowledge that he is the creator and all we have is by his mercy, and not through our own worth or greatness. So, you know, we should strive as a church to be in the number, and maybe that 10% that Jesus was kind of disappointed in, maybe it'll be more than 10%. But each of us should, you know, be 100% ourselves worshiping God. So let's, you know, when we sing the Gloria Patri, the next Sunday that we're here, and the other doxology that we sing, and it used to be a lot more of these. If you look in your Methodist hymnal, in the front part of it, right after the communion and baptismal service, the words and all, there are a lot of little short, about a line or two of music, and they're to be either sung or chanted. And I could not find how many churches actually still do this. I know there are some, but that's an old-fashioned thing. You know, we've kind of gotten away from that. But when we do like the communion service and the pastor says words and then we have some responsive readings, well, they can be sung or chanted as well. And that's kind of fallen out of vogue now. But it all comes back to everyone looking to God and praising God. And that's what those rituals are for. And, you know, we should remember that when we sing these words, they're not just empty words.